Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next 60 minutes on this beautiful Saturday morning, the 6th of March, 2010. And we will begin with your new off-season free agent champions, your Chicago Bears. The Washington Redskins have been kicked out of their perch. They've been knocked out as the off-season champions. It's over with for the Washington Redskins as far as 2010 goes. The Chicago Bears have taken that title. The Bears go out there and give Julius Peppers, of course, a six-year deal that, you know, is worth $91.5 million, $42 million guaranteed. Could exceed if he gets incentives, you know, Pro Bowls, Defensive Player of the Year, that kind of thing. Could exceed over $100 million, $110 million. Now, don't get me wrong, Julius Peppers, and trust me, I've been watching Julius Peppers going back to North Carolina when he was at North Carolina because he played football at North Carolina, he played basketball at North Carolina. And I think, in my opinion, could have been, if he had chosen to, in the NBA. I mean, he, as a physical specimen, as an athlete, Julius Peppers is as good, is as pure of an athlete as it is in the NFL. I mean, he is one of the best athletes in the league today. There's no question about it. You're talking about a guy 6'7", 283 pounds, you know, strong as an ox, can run like a linebacker. So, mind you, I'm not doubting his talent by any stretch of the imagination. But the thing about Julius Peppers that would scare me, and I understand where the Bears are coming from. The Bears haven't made the playoffs since they last made the went to the Super Bowl back in 2006. They're under, you know, Lovie Smith, the general manager, under fire. This is, you know, in Chicago is considered to be a make or break year for the Chicago Bears, for the Bears. If you're giving a guy $42 million signing bonus, who, even when he wasn't playing for a contract, even when he's there, you know, you had to push to motivate a guy who plays when he wants to play. Excuse me, even when he was playing for a contract, I should say. You know, Peppers is one of those guys who you look at and you say, hey, when he wants to play, this guy's unstoppable. But there are too many of those other times where you forget that he's even on the field. And you look at his career, I mean, obviously, up until this point, he's had an excellent career. He's been in Pro Bowl five times. He's been All-Pro four times. But Peppers, the kind of talent that he has, Peppers should be by far and away the most dominant defensive player in the league. Period. He should be the most dominant defensive player in the league. There's not a defensive player playing that has more pure physical talent than Julius Peppers. Not one. Not Darrell Revis, whoever you want to mention. Not one. Okay. We're talking about a guy with all-time great talent. Not just Pro Bowl caliber talent. We're talking about all-time great talent. Anybody plays when he wants to play. And I'm looking at the his press conference last night when I got home. And of course, I would be smiling too. If somebody just gave me $42 million guaranteed, well, I know it's mine. I mean, you know, all I can get over is just him grinning, basically doing the interview just without breaking from smiling. And he had one of those looks on his face, like, how in the world did they give me $42.5 million? Like, I got you. He had one of those looks, like, I just robbed you. Like, I just picked this franchise clean. That was looking at on his face. He answered the questions, but I mean, he didn't say anything. You know, Bears got a great position. Okay, we know this, and you know, and nothing profound he said that was standing out in that press conference. The usual blabber that you hear from guys signing with their new teams, happy to be here, at the beginning, blah 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 blah. And again, you know, with, again, Tepper's 30 years old, so, I mean, he still has time to be, you know, it's not like he's, I don't think Tepper's is on the downside of his career. Unlike many positions, unlike running back position and some other positions, I mean, I think he really is in the prime of his career as far as his ability. But again, you're talking about a guy who, you know, will take off some plays and take off, frankly, take off some games. I mean, there's no question about it. He played well, you know, the first part of that season, first part of last season, in a contract year, mind you, in a contract year, he was nowhere to be found for Carolina. And I know it was easy to lose him based on the fact that Carolina was so bad. But if a guy is as talented as he is playing great, it doesn't matter what the team, it doesn't matter who he's playing for. You notice it. The last 5-6 games when Carolina got on the roll, got hot, he was unstoppable against the Giants, against the Cardinals, against some of the other teams. He was a dominant player. But again, there were games last year where you just did not know where he was and where not he was on the field. I mean, from a football aspect, I mean, the guy can play, and he can play a 3-4, he can play a 4-3, he can play, I mean, you can line him up anywhere on the field in terms of the defensive line. He's that athletic. He had a couple of interceptions. Nobody, again, his talent is not to be questioned. His motivation, that's another thing. So the Bears go and make that move. Then they go and give Chester Taylor another running back. Now, this move to me, the Julius Peppers move, okay, you can go back and forth with that one. I wouldn't give him that money. I wouldn't sign him. But Chester Taylor, drop, sign a running back who's 29, 30 years old, when recent history has proved to us in the NFL that you can get a running back off the streets and he can come in and get you 1,000 yards. The Bears offensive line stinks, and you give Chester Taylor, you know, $7 million in guaranteed money. You give a backup running back, basically, a $7 million of guaranteed money. I don't have any question about Chester Taylor's talent. He's very good. He's had had a big year before Adrian Peterson got to Minnesota. I understand that. But, Chester Taylor is a starter. I think he has starting ability. Adrian Peterson just took his position, and rightfully so. But again, you can get a running back so easily that, to me, and I know the Bears are limited as far as their draft picks. They traded their picks basically to Denver in the color, which they should have did. But you can get a running back in the fourth or fifth round. Or you can get a running back that's been cut by a team. Look at Cedric Benson. I mean, you waste that money on a guy who, how many more years does Chester Taylor have at the age of 30? I mean, let's be realistic. We know that magic number is with running backs. It is proven, even with some of the greatest running backs in history, whether it be Marshall Faulk, whether it be LaDainian Thompson, 29 to 30, that's what a running back, that's just about it. Now, I'm sure the Bears are banking on the fact that Chester Taylor is different because he has not taken the amount of punishment playing behind Adrian Peterson for the last 3 years, so I'm sure that they thought about that. It is somewhat fair. Maybe they're hoping just to get 2 or 3 years out of him. But again, to me, that is an absolute waste of money that could have went in other places. The Bears. Here's the thing about giving Julius Peppers what you gave him and giving Chester Taylor what you gave him. They put basically $50 million of guaranteed money into two players. The Bears have about, seven to eight needs on that team. I mean, the Bears need, they need work on the defensive line. They need work on the offensive line. They need upgrades in receivers. The Bears need an upgrade in the defensive backfield. They have so many needs to address. They don't have a lot of draft picks. So, to me, it would be smart for them to go out and make four or five smaller moves to address the needs that they have. But again, it's so refreshing as a Washington Redskins fan to see another organization just be moronic in how they spend money. Because this has been the Redskins in the past three or four years, or at least every other year as far as when a big when a big time free agent came up. This is what the Redskins, this is what the Redskins have done. Made the quote unquote, you know, big quote unquote big time move, the flashy move, the you know, the move that you know, everybody is laughing at you. So I love it. I love to see somebody else's our gain is somebody else's loss as far as I'm concerned. And I'm telling you right now, I wanted no part of Julius Peppers. None whatsoever. But the Bears have so many other needs that, you know, these two players, they could have used, with the needs, they filled two needs. They filled a need at running back and they filled a need at defensive line for $50 million. Now, think about that. They filled two needs. It took $50 million in guaranteed money for them to fill two needs. Two needs. That's not getting bang for your buck, I can tell you that. The other big story, of course, came a little bit later on in the day. Anquan Boldin gets moved from Baltimore. Baltimore, Arizona finally moves him. There's been, you know, last couple of years, you kind of saw this coming. And to me, both teams made out well with this deal. First of all, Baltimore gets a certifiable number one receiver. Anquan Boldin is one of the most physical receivers in the league, if not the most physical receiver in the league. The guy will run any route. He's as tough as nails, and he is a guy that keeps defensive coordinators up at night. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. I mean, this guy, you know, who knows about Derek Mason, what he's going to do. He retires and unretires, seemingly like almost Brett Favre, like he's become, you know, seemingly, so who knows what he's going to do. At this point, you know, Baltimore could tell Derek Mason if he doesn't make up his mind, he'd take a walk. But, you know, I think he probably will come back knowing that he will have won't have to carry the load as much as he has in the past couple of years. But again, Boldin gives, you know, you put Boldin with that running game, that makes that running game that much better. Because now all of a sudden you can't stack up 8 or 9 men on the box to stop that running game with Ray Rice and McClain and Willis McGahee. Baltimore right now, at this moment, especially with the Rossum, especially with, you know, with Roethlisberger having his issues, Baltimore is a team to beat in the AFC North right now. And I can make a strong case for Baltimore being maybe even the outright team to beat on, you know, March 6th in the AFC. That is a big move for the Ravens to get that guy. That Boldin, again, to me, Boldin, as far as talent, as far as toughness, Boldin is easily, in my opinion, one of the top 6 or 7 receivers in football. He made Larry Fitzgerald better. He does the dirty work. He blocks. I mean, he's one of the best blocking receivers in football. He won everything you want out in a receiver. Anquan Boldin is it. His numbers will be much better on this particular team, even though that they are a run-oriented team, because he's going to be the guy. And I think he has the ability to be the guy. Remember, with Arizona, it wasn't Boldin. It was basically two number ones with Boldin and Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald won, Boldin 1A. For Arizona, I totally understand this move. You don't have to worry about speculation on, you know, does Boldin want to be traded? And, you know, you don't have to worry about that nonsense. Plus, you have arguably the best receiver in football in Renato Fitzgerald, who's still very young. You have the veteran receivers who are good. Weston can be a number two. Early Doucette came on last year. You saw what he could do. So Arizona's fine as far as receiving. As far as receivers goes, there's still questions about who exactly is going to get those guys to football, but they would have those questions even if Boldin was still on the team. So I totally understand where Arizona's come from. They get Arizona, Baltimore, along with Boldin, gets a fifth-round pick. Arizona gets two more draft picks, gets a third and a fourth rounder for this year. So that's a good move for Arizona and a great move for Baltimore. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call, I will give you the weakness of the king, LeBron James. I will tell you what his weakness is and why Cleveland fans should be worried. And I will also tell you, and I will also get to some more NBA. We also will tell you 4 teams you don't want to see in college basketball, and a particular team in the Northeast finally stands up to a bully that's still to come and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. 15 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour, I'll be right back after this update. The Chicago Bears have signed Julius Peppers to a 6-year, $91.5 million deal that could exceed over $100 million if incentives are achieved. Peppers will earn over $42 million in guarantees. Peppers is a five-time Pro Bowler and spent his entire career with the Carolina Panthers up to this point. The Baltimore Ravens have acquired Arizona wide receiver Anquan Boldin and a fifth-round pick. In return, the Cardinals will receive third and fourth-round picks for this year's draft. Boldin has also agreed to a 3-year, $25 million contract extension with the Ravens that will pay him $10 million in guaranteed money. NBA scores. Cleveland Cavaliers win their sixth straight game. They 99-92 over the Detroit Pistons. LeBron James goes for 40 points. The Charlotte Bobcats pound the Los Angeles Lakers. Lakers dropped their second straight game, 98-83. Boston over Philadelphia, 96-86. Atlanta in a shootout over Golden State, 127-122. Orlando over New Jersey, 97-87. Dallas gets his 10th straight win without Jason Terry, 108-100 over Sacramento. At Denver defeats Indiana, 122-114. Other winners in the association included Oklahoma City and also the San Antonio Spurs. Of course, the NBA is heading to its stretch drive now. Many of these teams now just have 20 games left. And, you know, right now, Cleveland's playing well. They seem to have gotten things, you know, straightened out after that three-game losing streak. They followed that up with a 6-game winning streak. But if you're a Cleveland fan, if you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, you know, you have to be a little bit nervous by what transpired this week with LeBron James. Of course, you're going to have to be nervous as a Cleveland Cavaliers fan until he signs on the dotted line. So just enjoy this season, and hopefully it produces a championship for you and take it from there. But LeBron James, of course, announced this week that he's going to switch his number from 23 to 6. He wants to honor Michael Jordan, thinks number 23 should be permanently retired around the league. And nobody, including myself, is behind the fact that he's trying to honor Michael Jordan. LeBron James wants to switch numbers because he wants his jersey to be the highest-selling jersey in the NBA. Right now, believe it or not, Kobe Bryant's jersey outsells LeBron's jersey. And you would figure, despite the fact that LeBron James is a more popular figure around the world than Kobe Bryant is, and more popular athlete than Kobe Bryant is, as far as, you know, marketing and things of that nature goes. The reason why Kobe Bryant's jersey outsells LeBron James's jersey is because Kobe Bryant, about 4 years ago now, or maybe 3 years ago, changed his number from 8 to 24, and he went ahead of LeBron James at that point. Remember, Kobe Bryant's jersey when it was still 20, number 8, was really sagging in sales. I mean, you had a lot of players that were, four or five players that were ahead of him. He makes a switch, and for the last 2 years, he's had the highest selling jersey. So LeBron James is about LeBron James and the brand of LeBron James, which leads me to what could possibly be his downfall. If there's any, nothing on the court is going to stop him. He has every skill known to man. He is arguably one of the most talented players, if not the most talented player to come along that we've ever seen, including Michael Jordan. But what's going to stop him is, and you go back, I'll take it to, you know, this being Oscar weekend, take it to one of my favorite movies, The Devil's Advocate. What was Keanu Reeves' favorite? What was Al Pacino's favorite scene? Vanity. Remember that scene? That was a great. I love that movie, Vanity. And that's what's going to start. That could curtail LeBron James, because LeBron James wants to be NBA champion. He wants to be and he wants to be the most popular athlete on the face of the earth. He wants to be a global icon. He wants to be a movie star. He wants to be all these things at once, and he wants to be the best at all of them. Not so much the best actor, but wants to be, you know, he wants to make movies. He already made the movie More Than a Game, which is out now, I think on DVD, probably on DVD. And, you know, before you do all these things, and it's nice that he's done all these things, but before you do all these things, you got to win a championship. You know, I look at Michael Jordan. I've never heard Michael Jordan talking about, over the course of his career, even when he got to the point where he was on every other commercial known to man, I never heard Michael Jordan ever talk about becoming a global icon. What I saw Michael Jordan doing after his first 7 years when he didn't win a championship was winning six championships. Was winning six championships, you know, following that, you know, once he turned 28. And with all that, and with those championships came Michael Jordan, you know, icon. Michael Jordan made a movie, Space Jam. But you know what? At that point, Michael Jordan had four championships in his back pocket at that point. He was already a living legend. He was already, you know, his status as the world's most popular athlete was already set in stone at that point. Win first. And there's no way. Now, I'm not saying that LeBron James will never win a championship if he continues to try to market himself. I'm not saying that at all. He can win a championship this year. What I'm speaking of is, to me, he's going to allow, you know, this obsession with his brand and with himself to dictate where he goes in terms of where his career goes. When it should be basketball, and what's happening on the floor that should determine where his career goes. Okay, which one is more important? What goes on the court, or what goes on off the court? Because truthfully, his best bet in terms of winning multiple championships would be to stay with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Period. I mean, Cleveland has, you know, they can pay him the most money. They have nice young pieces. They'll have contracts coming off the books with Shaquille O'Neal. They have plenty money to surround him with great talent. Even if they don't land a Chris Bosh, forget about Dwayne Wade. They can get Amari Stoudemire. They can get two other players who are all-star caliber players. Joe Johnson, who might not get max money. I mean, they have enough. Dan Ferry knows what he's doing. Dan Ferry clearly has demonstrated that he knows how to put together a basketball team. Excuse me. There's no question. There is no question about that. So, I mean, how much, you know, how much does the question go? The question is, how much does LeBron value winning versus LeBron valuing LeBron and the LeBron James brand? And there's all, and again, this is not me making up this rumor. It started to pick up some steam. It kind of died down for a couple of weeks, for a couple of months. But the Los Angeles Lakers, LeBron to the Los Angeles Lakers is not far-fetched. It is not far-fetched at all. LeBron makes a choice that, hey, I don't want to sign with Cleveland. Cleveland's in a position where, hey, we're not going to lose for nothing. You know, you got Andrew Bynum, got Lamar, you got some pieces that they can get something for nothing. For get something and get nothing. L.A., movies, Hollywood, you know, second biggest market in the country. Hey. But putting that aside, James is going to have to make a choice. You're going to see how much when you know July 1st, when July this summer, when this summer comes around, you're gonna see how much he truly values winning. You're gonna see it. Again, he, you know, and Kobe Bryant made the same mistake, and I'm not talking about the trying to market himself. I'm talking about, you know, having so much belief in his, in just his ability that he felt like he didn't need another great player to win a championship. Not like win a championship by himself, as he did not go out of his way to make sure Shaquille O'Neal stayed at Los Angeles Lakers. And he paid for it in a big way by having 3 years where the Lakers basically were not relevant as far as when it came to winning a championship. Then, you know, he went out basically because, hey, you know what, I'm wasting my prime years. I'm the best player in the league, but I'm not getting out of the first round of the playoffs because we're not good enough. So the reality of the situation is LeBron is better off staying with Cleveland in terms of his championship prospects, but he might leave because he feels like, hey, I can win a championship and I can market myself to the highest level, whether it be L.A., New York, excuse me, Chicago, Brooklyn. So we'll see certainly what happens with that. But again, don't be fooled by this number switch and just want to honor Michael Jordan. Again, give me a break. It's nothing but marketing. It's nothing but LeBron James wanting to, again, outsell Kobe Bryant. Well, outsell whoever would have the number one jersey. It's not so much. It just happens to be Kobe Bryant. He wants to have the number one jersey in the league. I mean, that's where he's at right now. Couple of some notes in the NBA, of course, and I told you this when the Cleveland made a trade for Gaffney's Shaquille O'Neal insurance. Shaquille O'Neal's out for the rest of the regular season with a thumb injury. Now, again, they don't need Shaq in the regular season, but they will need him in the postseason. Make no mistake about that. They cannot beat the Lakers. I don't think they can beat the Celtics or Orlando without Shaquille O'Neal. Now, Ilgaskis more likely will come back in a couple of weeks. He's able to come back March 21st. 30 days will be up as far as, you know, a guy who gets traded from one team becoming an outright free agent and being allowed to go to that team he was traded for. You have to wait at least 30 days. Gaskin could sign whoever he wants other than the Cleveland Cavaliers right at this moment, but all signs point to him going back to the Cavaliers, you know, come March 21st. So he's out. Again, Cleveland needs both of them to win a championship. And both of them playing well to win a championship. They're gonna. This small line looks great now. It's entertaining. You can move LeBron to the 4, Bajon at the 5. You can get away with it in the regular season. Playoff time, the possessions get cut down. Half court game, it's not gonna work out. So that is a move. That certainly is an injury that you know, if Shaq comes back, could be a blessing in the sky for them. Shaq comes back, extra rest, a little bit, you know. Comes back extra rest. It could also could be a disaster if Shaquille O'Neal cannot fit in with the team. If they, you know, he could not fit in with the team after being out for about, you know, almost 2 months, so a month and a half. So we'll see what happens with that. Jason Terry also had surgery on a facial injury, not that serious. He'll be out a couple of weeks. Dallas right now is rolling. They've won 10 straight, playing the best ball right now in the NBA. And looking like a team that can seriously can challenge the Los Angeles Lakers out there in the West, of course, along with the Denver Nuggets. So certainly keep your eyes on that. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. One team finally overcomes a bully, and the NCAA possibly is expanding to 96 teams. Certainly a possibility. We'll talk about that and much, much more still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. The Chicago Bears have signed Julius Peppers to a 6-year, $91.5 million contract that could exceed over $100 million with incentives. Peppers, 5-time Pro Bowler with Carolina, and also four times All Pro, also received $42 million in guaranteed money. The Baltimore Ravens have acquired Arizona wide receiver Anquan Boldin and a 5th-round pick. In return, the Cardinals will receive a Baltimore's third and fourth-round picks for this year. Boldin has agreed to a 3-year, $25 million contract extension with the Ravens that will pay him $10 million in guaranteed money. NBA scores: Cleveland over Detroit, 99-92. LeBron goes for 40 points. The Charlotte Bobcats pound the Los Angeles Lakers, 98-83. Philadelphia falls to Boston, 96-86. Atlanta over Golden State, 127-122. Orlando over New Jersey, 97-87. Dallas, 108. Sacramento, 100. Denver, 122. Indiana, 114. Other winners in the association included San Antonio and also Oklahoma City. Of course, the NBA tournament is just a couple of weeks. It's just in 1 week, basically, just 1 week away from selection Sunday. You'll have championship week, which started this weekend. We'll really get to gear this weekend. It's all about the smaller teams this weekend. Next week it'll be about the big, the big dogs as conference tournaments kicking the gear. The 3 number 1 seeds are basically locked up. Syracuse, Kansas, and Kentucky are going to be number 1 seeds. Even if they could all not win another game into the tournament, they're still going to be number 1 seeds. Those two teams have clearly separated themselves as far as getting that number 1 seed. As far as the number 1 seed goes, the 4th number 1 seed is up in the air. I mean, Duke still has an inside track despite what happened on Wednesday night against Maryland, but it could be, Duke is up there. You have Villanova up there. A couple teams it'd be 2 or 3 teams that could possibly be that 4th number 1 seed. If Duke wins the ACC tournament, I think Duke probably will get that number 1 seed based on how many quality teams they have beaten. But certainly that remains to be seen. Of course, and I mentioned earlier, Maryland, Duke, you had Maryland getting a big time win over Duke on Wednesday night. Maryland has been kicked around by Duke in the last 3 years. I mean, just not only beaten, but just been destroyed by Duke. No matter where the game has been, it had been a rivalry for from 2001 to basically 2005, 2007. But lately, Duke has dominated that series. That was a major win for the Maryland program because, I know they beat North Carolina with 1 last year, but that was one of those wins where they basically pulled a rabbit out of their hats, and they really were not a competitive team last year. They were okay. This year Maryland's playing well. They're 12-3 in the ACC. I don't think they're not a championship team. They're not a Final Four team. They're a team that, if everything breaks right, can get to the Sweet 16. I do believe that. They have some good guards. Rivas Vasquez, who I don't love as a player. I think he's the example of a guy who's a great in college, will not be a factor in the pros. But you can't dispute what he's done in college and for that program over the past couple of years. Played a great game, had made a couple of big plays down the stretch, and they finally stand up to Duke. I mean, Duke, again, over the past couple of years, have been toying with Maryland. Maryland needs to show some guts. They show some heart against Duke, and they did that. I mean, they played very well. Even had they lost that game, I would still say it would have been a positive for Maryland because of just them taking the fight to Duke. Maryland gets an impressive win. Maryland still has the outside chance of getting the number 1 seed in the ACC tournament. Both teams finished tied. Duke, of course, will have the tiebreaker, but, pair of business against Virginia, and Duke loses a rivalry game against North Carolina, who's playing a little bit better, but they still having a terrible year. Then Maryland would win the ACC outright. But, again, Duke controls what happens in the conference. controls, has his own death controls, his own destiny as far as that goes. A lot of talk with the NCAA tournament possibly being expanded to 96 teams. And, you know, and again, it all comes down to money with these, you know, these, the NCAA, I mean, the NCAA is all about the money. It's never been about anything else but the money when it comes to things like of this nature. And what the NCAA wants to do is they are, what they're doing right now is they are kind of like putting out feelers I'm sure they're putting out feelers to other stations, to other networks to see who is willing to who is willing to outbid CBS so that they can expand the tournament and collect the money at the same, expand the tournament and collect the money. So they want, they want to see who can top CBS's deal. They can opt out of their contract with CBS 3 years early. They still have, 3 years early. They can opt out right now and go to another network. But they want to see, again, who's willing to pay more money than CBS, along with who's willing to take on that. And what they're going to do is, and having the NCAA tournament is a valuable commodity. So the NCAA have a lot of leverage in that. What they're going to try to make it a package deal. They're going to say, hey, you want us, you want to broadcast our tournament, we want to expand the field, we expand the NCAA tournament to 96 teams, take it or leave it. They're going to really force these networks' hand, especially in this economy. They're going to try to force these networks' hand at that. Networks want the value, the networks want the NCAA tournament games. CBS might just tell them, hey, we're not gonna overpay for it because our ratings have slipped and continue to slip. And 96 in a tournament with 96 teams, that kind of would dilute the tournament. So we might, this could be the last year that CBS Sports has the NCAA tournament. Don't be surprised if next year you see it on Fox, CBS, or Fox or ESPN. Don't be shocked. But the whole idea of expanding the tournament is, to me, ridiculous. Number one, you're gonna have how many buy rounds is the number one team gonna get? Number one seed gonna get? It's special when you see a team celebrate. The great thing about championship week is it's really a celebration of not so much the Big Ten, ACC schools, Big East schools winning conference tournaments. It's a celebration of the teams. The little guys of college basketball, the teams who never make the NCAA tournament, the teams who their dream, who for them making the NCAA tournament is like winning a championship. So to me, you kind of like take away from that if you expand the team. You can put 96 teams, you can put 150 in. It will devalue the regular season. The regular season already is devalued to a certain extent. Even the diehard college fan, unless you're covering college basketball, even the diehard sports fan, nobody gets into college basketball until after football is done, nobody gets into college basketball. You start getting to college basketball in February. Okay, I always joke, and it's always been said that the official start of the college basketball season, isn't until the first Duke North Carolina game, which normally takes place the first weekend in February. So if you add, 32 teams to an already field of 64, how many rounds is it going to be? How long is the tournament? When is the tournament going to end? How many more stations am I going to contract with DirecTV? I have to spend more money on cable television to watch some games. And I'm surprised how many of these coaches actually support this. I'm shocked how many coaches support this. I've heard more positive feedback out of coaches than I have negative. And one of the reasons is why, if they make the NCAA tournament, then they figure they can keep their jobs with more tournament appearances. But to me, if I'm a president, I'm a university, and I'm looking at coach, and I'm saying, hey, you better make the NCAA tournament. I mean, allowing 96 teams in, it doesn't mean as much making the NCAA tournament with 96 teams as it would with 64 teams. So to me, that would put more pressure on the coach to win, to not only make the tournament, but to do something once they got to the tournament, if you're at a big-time school. Or even if you're at a smaller school. Because if you're at a small school, just making the NCAA tournament, hey, that's a great accomplishment, that's a great year, keep up the good work. We win a game, that's a bonus. But now it's like, hey, we win, we make the NCAA tournament. Well, you know what? We should make the NCAA tournament. We got a decent program. We get pretty good players. There are a bunch of teams in there. How are we not making the tournament? Why are we not one of the 100 best teams in college basketball? We're not one of the 100. I mean, so I don't understand all these coaches who support this idea. The only move that the NCAA should make is adding three more play-in games. The idea of just 65 teams in one play-in game is just stupid. It makes no sense whatsoever. Add three more play-in games and give three other teams an opportunity to be in the tournament. Also, in terms of scheduling, you know, to me, the NCAA tournament has a unique quality in terms of with the schedule. You have games starting on Thursday. It goes by quick because the second selection show is on Sunday. Monday, you kind of digest all the brackets and looking at this team, looking at that team. Tuesday, they have a playing game. By the time that goes by, it's about to be basically ready to start the tournament. Wednesday, you know, you kind of preview the tournament a little bit. Thursday afternoon, the game starts. Now, you're going to have games midweek. You know, you're going to have NCAA tournament games on Tuesday and Wednesday. If this move is made, to me, it will ruin the NCAA tournament. It will ruin the NCAA tournament if they do this. And again, it comes down to the money. It sounds like this definitely could happen. It sounds like this definitely absolutely has a strong chance of happening based on the fact that, again, CBS and the NCAA tournament, the NCAA has a lot of power. You know, the brand of college basketball has a lot of power as far as negotiating with networks, as far as what it can command. Not only so much what the money it can command, but also with the fact that they're going to go to a network and say, "Hey, we are a package deal. We're going to expand. We want to expand. So if you want to be a part of this, you want to sign us. Then you know, if you want to sign us." You're going to have to give us this amount of money, and also we're going to expand to 96 teams. One big game today that could have a certain determinant on seedings, West Virginia at Villanova. Villanova is struggling right now. Forget about number one seed. I mean, as Villanova won out and won the biggest tournament, they could be a number one seed, but they can easily fall back to a number three seed if they lose this game and struggle in any Big East tournament. It's finally caught up to them that they really don't have quality big men. They're starting to play, you know, it's forced Jay Wright to a point where he has to play some big guys who are not his best players, but he needs size on the floor. As, you know, the Big East, he has a lot of quality big men in the Big East, so he's been getting punished lately. He got Syracuse destroyed over last week inside. I mean, I thought Syracuse gave the most impressive performance of the college basketball season with that point. Right now, if I had a team to pick to win a championship, I would pick Syracuse. But, of course, you know, still a ways to, you know, a couple of weeks before, ways to go before that. But Syracuse pounded Villanova inside, and Villanova, you know, they have great guards, but, you know, you saw what happened in the Final Four last year when they ran to North Carolina and what, you know, North Carolina's big man did to him. Villanova runs into quality big men. And you're going to run into quality big men once you get to Elite Eight, Final Four, once you get to that part of the tournament, they kind of get exposed. And very interesting to see how they respond, how they play come against West Virginia come today. Still to come on this latest edition, Saturday morning wake-up call. What you should look for in a free agent. I'm gonna put you in the general manager's position, And again, free agency in the NFL can be tricky. What I would want out of a free agent, what the things I would look for, I will tell you what those things are. That's still to come and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll be right back after the update. The Chicago Bears have signed Julius Peppers to a 6-year, $91.5 million contract, a deal that could exceed over $100 million with incentives. Peppers will earn over $42 million of guaranteed money. Peppers, of course, is a five-time Pro Bowler with the Carolina Panthers. The Baltimore Ravens have acquired Arizona wide receiver Anquan Boldin and a fifth-round pick. In return, the Cardinals will receive third and fourth-round picks for this year's draft. We'll see Baltimore's third and fourth-round picks. Baltimore, Boldin has agreed to a 3-year, $25 million contract extension with the Ravens that will pay him $10 million in guaranteed money. NBA scores, Cleveland defeats Detroit 99-92. LeBron James, Cleveland wins their sixth straight game. LeBron James goes for 40 points. The Lakers get pounded by the Bobcats. That's been a house of horrors for the Lakers over the last 2 or 3 years. 98-83. Boston over Philadelphia, 96-86. Atlanta defeats Golden State, 127-122. Orlando 97, New Jersey 87. Dallas 108, Sacramento 100. Denver over Indiana 114. Other winners include Oklahoma City and also the San Antonio Spurs. Of course, we've been talking a lot today about free agency, and you know, we began the show with that, talking about the big moves that have been made. A couple other guys that have been signed, by the way, and not to just focus on, of course, Julius Peppers, that was a big one. Vince Wilfork finally gets his money from New England, 5 years, $40 million contract extension, $25 million of guaranteed money, $18 million signing bonus. Wilfork is simply one of the best nose tackles in all of football. You know, clocks in the middle. It takes two blockers to even deal with him. And he's a guy that New England, when New England pays a guy, he's good. You know, they don't make bad. They don't. Oh, that's one thing you would never see New England overpay for a guy. So that just tells you what how good Will Fork is. And luckily for New England, and I say luckily for New England, Will Fork was not in a position where he was an unrestricted free agent. He would have got snatched up so fast. I mean, Wilfork would have got probably $30 million. On the open market, he probably would have got $30 million guaranteed. I mean, that, like, he, you know, 28 years old, is still a big-time player. And he, they were very fortunate to the fact that they franchised him. And they were very fortunate that he was in a position to where he could have been an unrestricted free agent. So New England gets that done. Carlos Dansby goes to Miami, which is no surprise. As he leaves Arizona, Dansby can play in a 3-4 or 4-3. He's better off as a guy who can beat you off the edge with his speed. So he definitely should help out Miami. Entre Roe, another Arizona player, goes to the Giants, which will certainly help out that much depleted secondary that was just decimated last year. Corey Webster certainly will be back, and the Giants secondary should be much improved as we going into 2010. So come by the move. Gary Brackett resigns with Indianapolis, which to no surprise. You know, he gets his money, and again, the captain, and again, with Indianapolis, same similar to New England. When Indianapolis gives you money, you can play. So those guys get deals with their respective teams. Here's where, you know, free agency can be so tricky in the NFL, but to me, it can be simplified in this standpoint. When you're dealing with free agency and trying to pick the right free agents to sign versus the guys who you want to totally stay away from, to me, the number one thing I'm looking for is you have to consider you have to consider this fact. You don't build a team around free agents. You plug holes with free agents. Case in point, the Chicago Bears are trying to build their team around Julius Peppers, basically. I mean, Julius Peppers, along with Jay Cutler, are going to be the cornerstones of that team. Mistake. I mean, big mistake, because Julius Peppers, he only plugs one hole. And that's, you can rush the passer, and he can be disruptive. I mean, he's going to allow defensive tackles to make plays to pay attention with him if he's on his game. But again, they're trying to build their defense around him. They're trying to build half their team around him. And you don't do that. You do what Arizona did, not signing him. Again, I know it was a trade, but Arizona plugged a hole. They need a receiver, so they get Anquan Boldin. That's what you do with free agents. Free agency. You have a need, you plug the hole with that need. If you can't do it in the draft. And to me, it's the small moves it's the small moves you have to make. The small moves that kind of like make great free agent signings. Wes Welker, Cedric Benson. Those were small moves that people kind of looked at like, oh, okay. Especially Cedric Benson. I mean, he was dead in the water. Okay, no big deal. Got him on the cheap. And now Cedric Benson had a Pro Bowl caliber year this season going with the Cincinnati Bengals. And what I'm looking for a free agent, what I'm looking for if I'm trying to find a guy is, number one, the age factor. And to me, I want, unless I'm trying to win a championship right now, this particular year, I'm looking, if I'm going to dish out a lot of money, I'm looking for a guy who preferably 28 and under, who can give me 3 to 5 high-quality years, okay? 3 to 5 high-quality years. I mean, Chester Taylor could be done after this year, easily. I'm also looking for a guy who has a chip on his shoulder. Michael Turner, that was a big move, and he got a lot of money from Atlanta a couple years ago. But Michael Turner had a chip on his shoulder. Oh, you're just a Darius Thomas' backup. Anybody can run in that with behind the offensive line. Had a chip on his shoulder. Okay, I'm just LT's backup. We'll see. Comes out there and gets leads the league in rushing the following year. In his first year with Atlanta. Team makes the playoffs. Versus guys who when you overpay for them, become fat cats. Case in point, Albert Haynesworth. Albert Haynesworth gets on his $100 million, gets $100 million, and then now what? Comes in out of shape, not motivated at all, and it basically, causes dissension within your locker room, because other guys are saying to themselves, this guy is making all the money, but he's giving half the effort on the field, or he's always injured. You want guys that are coming in with something to prove, even when they've got the money. That's why you don't give friends a lot of money unless you sign a quarterback. That's why you don't overpay. That's why you draft players. You develop defensive ends. You develop players at the premium positions. Whether it be tackle, end, defensive end, or cornerback, you develop players at those particular positions, so you don't have to overpay for them. So you can focus in on linebacker. You can focus in on other positions, other home guard. You can focus in on other positions that you have to fill as far as your needs go. Like I said earlier with the Chicago Bears, they spent $50 million in guaranteed money, and they filled how many holes did they fill? Two. With $50 million of guaranteed money. $50 million, I think about that. $50 million of guaranteed money. To me, if I'm signing guys, again, if I was signing a if Chicago wanted a pass rusher, guy who can get to the quarterback, who's a proven pass rusher, they could have got Aaron Kempman for half the money they gave Julius Peppers. Half. Now, is he as talented as Julius Peppers? No, but you know what? He's cheaper, and he's a guy who, number one, who has a chip on his shoulder, has a chip on his shoulder, and will come in and will go out of his way, is going to go out of his way to stick it to the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Kempman is saying to Green Bay, how could you have not signed me from what I've done over my career? That would have been a perfect sign for them, Chicago Bears. Sign him within the division so you weaken the Green Bay Packers and you strengthen your team at the same time. And whoever gets Aaron Kempman, it's gonna be a steal to me. Yes, you're gonna probably have to fork out $15 to $20 million in guaranteed money, but he is a pass. He has been one of the better pass rushers over the last 5-6 years. Those guys don't come cheap. So again, I'm looking at my free agents. I'm looking at guys who have something to prove, guys who are 28 and younger. And I'm looking at guys who I'm trying to fill holes and plug and fill holes as well as instead of trying to build a team around that particular guy. That's what you should look for in a free agent. And of course, that's where we began the program with Julius Peppers and Chester Taylor signing with Chicago. Anquan Boldin getting moved to Baltimore, great move for Arizona, good move for Arizona, great move for Baltimore, finally getting that number one receiver, kind of take pressure off Desmond Mason, makes Ty Heath that much better, makes that running game that much better. So I think right now the Baltimore Ravens are the team to beat in the AFC North and certainly one of the handfuls of teams to beat in football in the AFC. Also, keep your eyes on some of these guys that have been tendered in terms of contracts, the Jason Campbells of the world. Those guys, the Sean Merrimans of the world, you know, these teams, they tendered these guys with second and third round picks, some of them first round picks. If you make the right offer to one of these teams to try to sign these guys, you might be able to get these players for less than a first-round pick or a second-round pick. A team might be willing to give up, you know, if you're the Washington Redskins, you're not telling me that if somebody approached the Washington Redskins with a second-round pick and say, hey, we won't give you a first-round pick for Jason Kemp. We'll give you a second-round pick that they would turn down. You might be able to get Jason Kemp for a second-round pick. So keep it out. There's a lot of guys who signed a lot of tender deals. That's why the free agent market was weak, because most of the guys were either restricted, got tender offers, or most of the other guys just resigned with their respective teams. Not that many players that are still left out there who are completely free, unless they're just completely over the hill. Case in point, LaDainian Thompson. Kind of surprised about them. Was not shocked at all about Thomas Jones getting cut, 31 years old. Again, you can get him on the cheap right now. You definitely can get him on the cheap. Also, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, what more can you say about that situation? Pittsburgh is going to have a headache to deal with because, you know, once the accident, two of the trend. The girl in Las Vegas looks a lot smaller right now considering what happened with Roethlisberger allegedly being charged with another sex assault in Georgia. Of course, he still has that case over his head in Nevada. So, again, Pittsburgh, right now you have to be a little nervous if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and he's gonna be commenting. He looks like he's gonna be paying two women basically not to say anything, and that's what's gonna happen. So keep your eyes on that as well. And of course, next week we will get into championship week as the NCAA tournament fast approaches. We'll also talk about. I'm sure some of these guys who have been tendered will be signed or. Will either sign long-term deals with their teams, or could be picked up by other teams as other teams could probably get them for less than what their original teams want as far as draft picks and compensation. I will see you next week. Have a great, great week. So long. Hello?